It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
President Trump is going to Kenosha to praise law enforcement's response to the unrest last week, despite the objections from the governor and the mayor. And he made that very clear in an exclusive interview last night with Laura Ingraham. Watch.
I am a tremendous fan of law enforcement, and I want to thank the law enforcement. They've done a good job. And when the governor says that I shouldn't come or he'd prefer that I not come, I'm the one that called him and said, Tony, you got to bring out the National Guard. He agreed to it, at least. Now, he agreed to a small number, but the small number was plenty.
Meanwhile, Joe Biden traveled to Pittsburgh in his first in-person campaign event of the general election, blasting the president for the violence in the streets.
He doesn't want to shed light. He wants to generate heat, and he's stroking violence in our cities. Fires are burning, and we have a president who fans the flames rather than fighting the flames. But we must not burn.
But the president punching back, blaming the Democratic leaders who run those cities engulfed in chaos.
The people that are getting hurt, they don't care about. They don't care about these people. It's a weird thing. It's like warped minds. It's not only the Democrats, it's the media, the fake news. I think it's a sickness, actually. I think there's a fear.
Now, for today's trip to Kenosha, something to watch. There are no plans currently for a meeting between the president and members of Jacob Blake's family. Organizers have planned a gathering at the site of Blake's shooting, and that will coincide with the president's visit, so it will be interesting to see if there are any developments on that front.
All right, Sandy Rios with you, and happy to be, by the way, I am in Tupelo, Mississippi, at the headquarters of American Family Radio and American Family Association, so things are a little different today. Actually, they're going to be very enjoyable in spite of the content I'm going to deliver, so I hope you'll stay tuned. I have a special guest in studio in just a few minutes, but I want to talk to you about what we just heard, because the president is supposed to go to Kenosha today. You heard Griff say that the governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers, told the president not to come publicly. He made a big stand about that, and the president said, I'll see you Tuesday. So the president's coming anyway. Of course, what they want to say is that the president is inciting this violence. The violence of Kenosha or the other cities or Washington, D.C. or Portland or, you know, fill in the blanks are all happening because of President Trump. If he just, we got rid of him, we'd have no more violence. But of course, we know that that's ridiculous. We know that this is a revolution. These are revolutionaries, and they're not going to stop. They don't even care. If Joe Biden is president and he doesn't bow the knee to them, they'll be trying to get him out too. So don't be confused about that. And meanwhile, just in Kenosha, before we get off of that topic, the father of Jacob Blake, the guy that was shot and is paralyzed now, has said he will not meet with the president. I find it interesting, you know, the mother, I wonder if she'll meet with him, because she actually had some very kind words for President Trump when she spoke, and she asked the protesters and rioters to not do what they were doing. Don't destroy, don't loot for Jacob, don't do that. Very gracious woman. So it'll be interesting to watch this thing unfold today. And one more thing about Kenosha, you know that Kyle Rittenhouse, that 17-year-old kid who had the gun, who shot three people, is now got tremendous legal support, because it sounds as though all of the videos, and I did see many of them, all of the videos show that Kyle was shooting in self-defense. They tried to kill him that night. It is an amazing thing to watch and to see. And now there's a Give, Send, Go. That's a Christian fundraising campaign site, Give, Send, Go. And they're trying to raise money for his defense. And so you might want to consider that if you read the story and you agree with me that Kyle really has been, man, what a night for a kid like that. We'll have more time to talk about that later. But if it is what it looks like it is, he's a hero, honestly. And to put himself out there at that age is pretty amazing. Okay, so that's the story in Kenosha. Kevin Cork talks a lot about what's going on around the country in these various cities, and I thought it would be good to have an update, so let's listen.
I've offered to send in the National Guard. I've offered to send in anybody they want. I could put that out in 45 minutes and it would stop.
Saying all options remain on the table, including the possibility of invoking the Insurrection Act, President Trump today urged lawmakers in Oregon and elsewhere to quell the violence or prepare for federal intervention.
And I think the people of Portland and the people of Oregon, I know it's a liberal state, considered liberal, they're tired of it. They're tired of having, of living with this curse.
The remarks echoing a barrage of tweets about the ongoing unrest in Portland, Oregon. Many of the tweets directed at the city's mayor, Ted Wheeler, with the president calling him a fool and the dummy running Portland, adding that if this joke of a mayor doesn't clean it up, we will go in and do it for them. Wheeler, a Democrat, accused the president of stoking the fires of hatred that have consumed his city.
You've tried to divide us more than any other figure in modern history. And now you want me to stop the violence that you helped create.
By contrast, Kenosha, Wisconsin has seen its fight to end the violence following the shooting of Jacob Blake reduced to a simmer of late, thanks in part, say White House officials, to National Guard intervention. But the state's governor is hoping President Trump will rethink his decision to visit the state Tuesday, writing, "I'm concerned your presence will only delay our work to overcome division and move forward together. Now is not the time for divisiveness." The president, who's been welcomed by Kenosha's mayor, tweeted a reply to Governor Evers, suggesting it was the president's decision to activate the guard that helped to save Kenosha, adding, "I'll see you on Tuesday."
All right, so Kevin didn't talk specifically about what happened in Portland a few nights ago, and we touched on it yesterday, but we're learning, of course, more about it. The person that was shot in cold blood in the streets after the Trump protesters had gone through. I think it was 15, 30 minutes after the last truck had passed through. That was Patriot Prayer and a lot of other pro-American. They always say pro-Trump. Yeah, they were they're pro-American. And they just wanted to, it sounds to me, that they wanted to go into Portland and show that they did not want Antifa to take over the streets there. Maybe they were trying to encourage the people of Portland. I don't know. And so these two guys, these two friends, one of them was Aaron J. Danielson, were walking down the street. The video's there for you to see. And these two other people pull up. You can't see them, but you can hear them. And they basically say, there's two of them, shoot. And so then you hear two or three shots. And Aaron J. Danielson, we know now, just was killed in the chest just immediately. Just killed. He's got the Patriot Prayer hat on. And Amy Kramer, who was the founder, one of the founders of the Tea Party in out of Georgia, said, "This is Jay Bishop. He was a good American that loved his country and backed the blue. He was murdered in Portland by Antifa. Rest in peace, my friend." And so that's all we know about him. And I honestly don't know why they tried so hard to cover up his identity. I'm sure they knew right away who got shot. I don't understand that, and yet they did. When people are shot, generally, at least in these riots, we know right away who they are, don't we? And when people are shot by police, we know right away who they are. But for some reason, they kept this under wraps. And now they believe that the shooter is a guy named Michael Forrest Reinhold. Michael Forrest, R-E-I-N-O-E-H-L, Reinhold. He says he's a proud member, fully 100% Antifa. And and so maybe he is. And if he's the shooter, there'll be a lot to say about him. He was, by the way, arrested for carrying guns at a July Antifa riot, but he was released and his charges were dropped. And that'll make more sense to you in just a second when I talk about Kamala Harris's part in releasing these criminals. I'm going to give you an idea of how Antifa felt about the killing in Portland. This is an Antifa protester expressing her very strong opinion, clip 13.
Y'all are not angry. You're not paying attention. If y'all are not angry, you're not with me. Everybody needs to realize what's going on in these streets. Our community can hold its own without the police. We can take out the trash on our own. I am not sad that a fascist died tonight.
I'm not sorry that a blanking fascist died tonight. So they're rejoicing in the killing of the guy in the streets of Portland. And so that's Antifa, which kind of brings us to this next thing, because we know that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have been pretty, careful about what they say about what's going on in the streets. So Joe Biden came out to do a speech yesterday and tried to assure people that he's no leftist, and he didn't say, as far as I know, come on, man, but it was something like that with more words. Let's listen to it. Clip 11.
White, black, Latino, Asian American, Native Americans, everybody. I'm in this campaign for you, no matter your color, no matter your zip code, no matter your politics. When I think of the presidency, I don't think about myself. It isn't about my brand. It's about you, the American people. We can do better, and we have to do better. And I promise you this, we will do better. You know, the road back begins now in this campaign. You know me. You know my heart. You know my story, my family story. Ask yourself, do I look like a radical socialist with a soft spot for rioters? Really? I want a safe America, safe from COVID, safe from crime and looting, safe from racially motivated violence, safe from bad cops. Let me be crystal clear. Safe from 4 more years of Donald Trump.
All right, so that was Joe Biden speaking out. And, of course, he now is claiming that he's very much against the violence. They haven't said anything. It's been they've been silent on this during all the weeks that we've watched what's happening in America's streets around the country. But if you think that maybe it's possible, okay, maybe Joe, maybe he really just hasn't spoken up because, you know, he had other things to talk about, or, you know, there were other reasons. Of course, the Democratic National Convention said nothing about it the entire week they were holding there, nothing about what was happening in America's streets. Well, so I think maybe we should erase all doubt about how they feel about it. Kamala Harris, we played this yesterday. She was on The Late Show in June, and this is what she had to say about what's happening in our streets. Clip 17.
They're not going to stop, and this is a movement, I'm telling you. They're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not, and we should not.
They're not going to let up, and we should not, and they should not. So that's Kamala Harris, the Harris of Biden-Harris, the team for the Democrats. And unless you wonder, maybe that was just a fluke, you know, she didn't really mean that. Well, I have to tell you that Kamala Harris was behind this whole effort, raising millions of dollars to get these street criminals, these revolutionaries who are killing people, innocent Americans, out of jail. It was called the Minnesota Freedom Fund. Kamala threw herself behind it, and you might be interested to know who was released as a result of it. Jaleel Stallings shot at members of the SWAT team during the riots in May. Police recovered a modified pistol that looks like an AK-47. But Minnesota Freedom Fund paid to get Stallings out of jail, and he's out. Donica Floyd charged with second-degree murder for stabbing a friend to death. But, of course, Minnesota Freedom Fund, with Kamala's help, raised money and got her out. Christopher Boswell, twice convicted rapist, currently charged with kidnapping, assault, and sexual assault, but Minnesota Freedom Fund paid to get him out. All of that, Kamala Harris. This is what she said. If you're able to, chip in now to the Minnesota Freedom Fund to help post bail for those protesting on the ground in Minnesota. That is the vice presidential candidate for the United States, while they feign that they're very concerned about it. I would just like to say that I am not convinced, and I do think it does boil down right now to safety in this country. I think millions of Americans are seeing that. I heard that 10% of President Trump has increased his support among black voters by 10%. I heard a guy on the streets of Kenosha say, I think Kenosha, which went for Barack Obama in the past, will go for President Donald Trump this time. Well, why do you think that might be? You know, I think that even, you know, leftists who are, you know, comfortable and wealthy are wondering if they want to live in a world where there are just random shootings, like a third world country, like a Venezuela, like a Cuba. What are we doing here? I think this is really a turning point. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Did you know that over 18 million babies have been aborted worldwide since January 1st? Every single one of these babies died during the COVID-19 pandemic. Why isn't the world declaring these babies as lost? Here's Dan Steiner, the president of Preborn, a ministry dedicated to saving babies' lives from abortion through ultrasound.
I sense God's broken heart over the issue of abortion. You see, he sees every little baby that's being formed in the mother's womb, and it breaks his heart to see when the lifetime that he has planned for them is taken from them violently so often.
Preborn clinics are the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country and the direct competition to Planned Parenthood. Join Preborn in showing that these babies' lives are not forgotten. One ultrasound is $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Sam Schellenberger, Deputy Assistant Secretary at the Veterans Employment and Training Service. His office provides services for veterans, transitioning service members, and military spouses. Philippians 2:4 reminds us of the importance of helping others. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Sam Schellenberger as he helps America's veterans and their families. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
I've been telling you about classroom indoctrination for quite some time now, teachers instructing kids on reading, writing, and radicals. Many times, parents are clueless that their kids are being turned into left-wing zombies. But thanks to the China virus, moms and dads are now getting a front-row glimpse of the indoctrination. At Roma High School in Texas, parents were disturbed to notice that an English teacher's classroom was decorated with a Black Lives Matter banner. The teacher also had a phrase written in Spanish, pledging solidarity between black and brown people. Long story short, the teacher was told to take down the posters, and now she is on leave. Taylor Lifka tells the Texas Tribune she will not return to the district until they commit to supporting anti-racist policies and tolerance in the classroom. Well, how about just teaching the kids how to parse participles? I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
The billboards in black neighborhoods across the country are the work of Star Parker, the founder of the D.C.-based Center for Urban Renewal and Education.
I lived criminal activity and drug activity and sexual activity. I barely graduated high school literate. I was in and out of their abortion clinic after clinic. I lived on welfare.
She says the five precepts pulled her out of poverty, but some call them racist and sexist.
To every woman, that's near keep her beer pregnant.
Poverty is disproportionately hurting poor black people. So I think that it is the opposite of racist. You know, the people that are complaining most, they would have been more offended if I had put some white girl up there with blonde hair saying to do these steps in a black neighborhood.
Others said they were offended by the phrase, take any job. But George Berkeley says that's exactly what he did.
Well, you take any job at first, you know, to get situated. And then from there on, you advance.
As we were talking to George, the sign company removed the message, tossing it to the ground and taking it away.
With the billboard here at 39th and Villard removed, Parker says she's getting a lawyer to try to keep these billboards up or have them restored across the country.
We're talking about a free country and free expression here, freedom of speech.
Sound like something we've always been told.
High school sophomore Maria Lay says she wasn't offended.
I want to be a pediatrician. So it's important for me to finish school because I'm not going to be able to accomplish my goals if I don't.
Hey, Patrick, they emailed me late this afternoon. They said it's a Clear Channel Outdoor saying they, quote, strive to respect a wide variety of viewpoints, but, quote, this ad did not receive proper approvals, lacked appropriate attribution, and was promptly removed.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you again live from the studios of Tupelo, which is fun. It's fun to be here with Devin, my staff, and it's also fun to have a guest in studio, who I'm going to introduce in just a second. It all started, this particular story, when billboards went up around Milwaukee. And the offending billboard has the picture of a young black girl, and it says, tired of poverty? Finish school. Take any job. Get married. Save and invest. Give back to your neighborhood. And then it says Proverbs 10:4. And the offending person who put that terrible, no good, awful billboard up is sitting with me. It's Star Parker. Star is the founder and president of the Center for Urban Renewal and Education, that's known as CURE. Longtime friend of mine, and Star, it's great to actually see you.
Thank you. It's good being with you.
All right. So, the thing that struck me before we talk about this situation, Star, is how true to your mission you have been. You know, you came out of welfare and you had a rough life and you turned your life around and you've become such a powerhouse. I'm always struck by your intellect. You're thinking and you're thinking and writing about everything. You did a syndicated column?
Yes, still? Every week. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so for Creators Syndicate.
Yes,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and always on television and always, even privately and publicly, very articulate. But the point is, this is where you came from, poverty and welfare. And you broke out of that. And it's amazing to me that you stayed so true. This message was your message, right? That's what you did.
That's exactly right. Well, first I got saved. After living such an aggressive life, I met some Christians. And I was trying to get them to subsidize my welfare check. Now, I'd been in and out of welfare a lot of years, and now I'm in there consistently. And they told me they didn't pay under the table, that they were legitimate businessmen, and that they were not going to get where I was, that I actually should come to where they were. And I challenged them. And then they finally, one of them said, you know, we wouldn't let you work here anyway because of your lifestyle, even if you left welfare. And I challenged them that there was nothing wrong with my lifestyle. And I asked them the question, what's wrong with my lifestyle? And they said, it's unacceptable. And I said, unacceptable to who? Because I had bought all the lies of the left. And they said, God. And when I heard God, I'd never heard God like that with a capital G. I had never thought about God. I was in my 20s at this point, and I never thought that God thought about me or even cared about me. I had not heard that. They continued to call me to try to get me to go to church with them. And after a while, I finally did, and I heard the gospel. I heard about God. I heard that God was in Christ, that he was reconciling the world to himself, that he wasn't counting my sin against me, that he loved me, that he died for me, that he wanted to free me. And that was just such good news that I accepted it. And when you talk about being articulate today, one of the very early habits that I adopted, because someone told me to adopt it, is I began to read a proverb a day. And I still to today, 30-something years later, read a proverb a day. And in that, you just gain that wisdom that God said he will give you if you seek him.
Star, I just wonder what you think about this. I saw an account of, and we're going to hopefully get to this too, when people left the White House after the last day of the RNC and the president spoke. Of course, they were assaulted by all kinds of things, but one particular girl who was black was shouting, you think I'm an in, something like, she just kept, and it occurred to me, I've tried to put myself in that position and to think about where she's coming from, and I wondered if a lot of that hatred is spawned from self-hatred. Do you think some of these girls who have, and this is colorless, but we're happening to be talking about black young women, talking about your life. Do you think they've been through so much that it's their personal self-esteem that makes them so filled with hate and bitterness?
I think it's a couple of a combination of a couple of things. Number one, I think that all two-year-olds, three-year-olds, four-year-olds, and five-year-olds are intrigued by life, and they look at life through their little eyes and see so many differences, but the one consistency that they all recognize is when someone smiles. And it doesn't matter then what color you are, what gender you are. If you smile at a kid, they smile back, and the next thing you know, they want to play. And they don't have the differences that we have. But the challenge that we have today, in what you're describing, this young woman who might have a lot of self-hatred, is that the moral truths have broken down, the family home truths have broken down, and the scientific truths are not getting to them through our educational system. So now here you have someone that's 8 years old, and she's looking at her life, and even though some might smile, not really. Everything's broken. That's why we put those billboards up. Everything in there is broken. The family's broken. The neighborhood's broken. The schools are broken. And all you're told is that nobody cares about you and the country's stacked against you and you will never be successful. So over time, it does take a hold in your heart. And in order to defend your heart, you become very defensive. You become very angry. And what we have to do and the challenge before us as a society is to be able to get some truth in there, to break into that reality, because it is real. And it's in our various zip codes. I was at the White House that day, that evening, and those streets were so angry and full of such terror that when I attempted to leave out of the gate on the 15th Street side, because my office is a block from there, I was just going to walk over there and then go over to my apartment. By then, the Secret Service and the cops, they were all yelling, get down, get behind a car, get down. And I didn't know what was going to happen or what they were anticipating, because when you get to the place where you're just so angry that you can lash out at anything and then maybe think about the consequences later.
You know, I've seen the same thing in pro-life rallies or marches and, you know, seen women come out at me. I don't know them. Just screaming with hatred. These are, in my particular memory, it's a white woman. And I'm thinking, you know, the reason she's doing that is that she feels so, if she entertains the notion that what she did was really murder of her child,
right,
she is lashing out at me because she can't stand it. It's really
right.
About her feelings about that. So I do think that's what we're seeing in some cases in the street. In some cases, people
are
just... You
have two options when you've sinned. You can humble yourself, or you can become very haughty.
Exactly.
If we say we haven't sinned, we deceive ourselves and we call God a liar. Yeah. But if we confess our sins, he's so faithful and just to forgive us that he will then cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So what you witness and we still witness outside of our clinics, the clinics in our country, abortion clinics, where you have people that will go in sad and they come out angry. In fact, it was after the fourth time that I went to one of their so-called safe, legal, rare clinics that I had a gut instinct way down deep inside that there's got to be something wrong with killing your offspring. At that time, people weren't outside. I'm so thankful that they're outside today, because one of my dearest friends at Sisters for Life sends over regular testimonies of the girls that they were able to save going in. Because you're right, once they come out, you have other work to do.
Yeah. Totally. It just destroys the, not just the, it destroys the baby, but it also destroys, in some ways, the soul of the woman.
The scripture, the proverb again, he said, anxiety makes the heart sick.
Yeah.
They're brokenhearted. And when you have a broken heart, you have only one or two options. You got to humble yourself or you become very haughty.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Star, out of your own compassion, you put this billboard up in Milwaukee in a poor area, right?
And in Minnesota. We had them all over. We had Minnesota. At that point, we had Minnesota, Minneapolis and St. Paul. We had Philadelphia, and we had Milwaukee. Now, the timing was not because the Democrat convention was coming there, as many of them are saying. No, they changed their dates. We were timing to all of these communities. The next one was in Louisville, and we had 20 communities we had outlined across the country, and we still want to do the billboards, but we targeted them for that 12-year-old, that 14-year-old, That one that doesn't have a dad, has a broken school, doesn't know what to do with all of this madness around them. And we wanted to ask them one simple question. If you're really tired of poverty, you just do these things. And actually on the billboard, not only do we have the proverb, but we had our website /success. And those that go to the website where it says /success, we walk them through this success sequence. We walk them through with books so that they can really grow. You know, in the first step to finish school, we had Les Brown's book about success and how to organize your life. On the second step to take any job, we had Who Moved My Cheese? It's a book about reality in life, that everything is not going to be perfect. On the third one, for Get Married, we had Men in Marriage, where Gilder just brilliantly talks about the benefit of two being better than one. We had God, Money, and Me. I think it's God, Money, and You, Phil Liberatore, for those to save and invest. And then to give back to your neighborhood, we had Hyatt's book on Free to Focus. You know, he used to run Thomas Nelson. He has this incredible new little book, Free to Focus. How do you get to the place where you decide what your time is worth? And that's what's missing in many of these communities. They don't understand that the difference between slavery and freedom is time, and you actually get to control it. You don't have to think about what others think and buy into these ideas of collectivism and socialism and Marxism. You actually are a unique individual made in the image of God, and you get to control your time.
All right, and for that, these billboards, you were attacked. Let me just say it's urbancure.org/success, urbancure.org. If you can remember that, that'll kind of tie into a lot of things we're going to talk about, urbancure.org/success. So, Star, Black Lives Matter came after you, and what do they have to do with billboards? How could they get your billboard taken down, which they did?
Well, they went after me on the online. You know, they always go after an individual, and now these days they try to find you so they can terrorize you. But unfortunately for them, they're late because the LGBTQ community already went after me a few years ago. So I'm in a security protection program, and I already moved out of my house, so they can't find me. But no, actually, BLM Milwaukee went after Clear Channel Outdoors and demanded they take them down. They went to their offices. They posted their phone numbers. I mean, I cannot even imagine the fear that must have gone through those little people in that little bitty office that all they do is put up billboards every day. For that terrorist group to go there and start intimidating them and then started calling on the parent company in Baltimore and demand that they take them down all over the country. So I think that many laws have been violated.
Did they take them down all
over
the country?
Oh, yeah. But are you kidding? When a BLM comes after you and says, you take them down or we'll burn them down, I mean, what are the options of these companies? And that's one of the reasons that I'm filing a suit, because I think that we need it as a society. These companies have to be tired of getting shaken down like this.
Sure.
They've got to be tired of someone else telling them how to do their business.
Well, and also, you know, they're caught now. Because so many of them have given so many million dollars to Black Lives Matter,
mm-hmm.
and they've gone on record as supporting them, mm-hmm. and now it's coming back to bite them.
Mm-hmm.
Are you suing Black Lives Matter or Clear Channel?
Black Lives Matter is because they interrupted a contract. Black Lives Matter Milwaukee is what we're pursuing. I don't know. We haven't filed yet, and that's why the more help we have, the further we can pursue this. But it's against the law to interject yourself in someone else's contracts. My contracts were with Clear Channel Outdoor. Clear Channel Outdoor then breached those contracts because of the pressure from Black Lives Matter. This is illegal.
We also need to add that when Black Lives Matter is channeling, now they have so much money. This happened a month ago. They were saying, I read that they were getting so much money they didn't know what to do with it. And so they have started channeling it to Joe Biden's reelection campaign. And so people need to understand the connection there. It's very, very serious. And Star, we only have a couple of minutes. We may have to finish this on the other side. But when regular Black Americans, not involved in Antifa, not in the streets killing people, look at all of this, what do you think they think?
Well, I know exactly what's being thought, and it's actually being talked about. 39% of African Americans in this country live in our suburbs. They go to mixed churches, and their kids are playing in their yard. They abide by all of the rules, and they're horrified by what they see and what's being demanded of them right now, to dismiss all of their relationships and all of their friends that are across the ethnic lines for an agenda from a movement that's totally Marxist. They've totally told us exactly what they want. And most Black Americans, especially that third that have polled for 25 years that they're evangelical and conservatives, they don't want to have this. So I think that it will reflect in November because, remember, decent Americans still battle in the voting booth, or at least we should. And if we have corruption and recklessness, it's because we tolerate it, because we have opportunity to vote.
You know what? That reminds me, today is National Poll Worker Day. That means there's a special day assigned for you to pick up the phone, call your county clerk, and sign up, get hired to go to the polls. They are desperate for workers, desperate for honest people. That's something that you can do. Star Parker's my guest, yoururbancure.org.
The single most cited source of ideas in the founding era for the documents we have was the Bible.
Historian David Barton.
That doesn't sound like a godless constitution when your most cited source is the Bible.
Do you want to learn more about the biblical foundation of our nation's constitution? Watch God in the Constitution by David Barton from American Family Association's Cultural Institute. It's available on DVD at afastore.net.
Have you been looking for a way to serve others? Are you able to serve in a ministry without being paid? You and Friendships might be the perfect match. Friendships is currently taking applications for volunteers providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished, both here at home and around the world. Get more information at friendships.org or by calling 337-433-5022.
All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Christ's followers must contend for the authority of Scripture in every generation. Current societal challenges that are described as culture wars are really societal attacks on the authority and application of Scripture. American Family Studios has created a documentary film project that will aid you in effectively conveying a reason for your unwavering trust in Jesus and unflinching confidence in His Word. You need this in your life. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get this resource. You won't be disappointed.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. A judge ruled that church is an essential service and therefore John MacArthur's Grace Community Church can openly meet until its case is adjudicated in court. But Los Angeles is trying to revoke a lease agreement for the church parking lot that has been in place since 1975. If it's revoked, LA will shut down this church by closing down its parking. Satan is a roaring lion prowling the earth looking for victims to devour, and he has set his sights on Grace Community. Let's wage war against Satan in the heavenly realms by praying together. Father, in Jesus' name, we together bind the power of Satan over Grace Community Church. We cancel every curse that has been woven against this church, and we demolish in Jesus' name this stronghold that has been raised up against the knowledge of God. Amen.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Yesterday, the Pentagon announced that there are now 31 Chinese Communist military companies doing business inside our country. These include the Chinese communications construction company the U.S. sanctioned just last week. By law, every Chinese company operating overseas must steal technology, recruit spies, subvert its host government, or otherwise serve the motherland if ordered to do so by the CCP. But those are among the main duties of the People's Liberation Army. Why on earth are any of its front companies, let alone mainstays of China's military-industrial complex, allowed to do business here? The answer is the same as why such companies are permitted to obtain money from U.S. investors via pension systems, indexes, A-share trades, etc. Some on Wall Street and in corporate boardrooms are getting rich. The rest of us are getting hosed. This must end now. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
The wave of violence and destruction that we've seen in recent weeks and months has occurred in cities exclusively controlled and dominated by the Biden, Joe Biden party. The violent rioters share Biden's same talking points, and they share his same agenda for our nation. They didn't mention Antifa thugs, but mostly seem to blame the police and law enforcement. He even talked about those on the right, but he didn't talk about those on the left, and those on the left are the problem, and Antifa is the problem.
Do I look like a radical socialist with a soft spot for rioters? Really? I want a safe America.
Well, all right, so there might be a way to have a safe America, and that would be not to redirect funding for the police, which is what Joe Biden's called for. Kamala and others are calling for defunding. Of course, she's being very careful now because she's running as the vice presidential candidate. Sandy Rios, back with you from Tupelo. My guest is Star Parker, who is the founder of CURE, the Center for Urban Renewal. And Star, we touched on this, but I want to go back to this because you were at the White House on the West Lawn. I think there were 1,000 maybe people there. It looked beautiful, just wonderful. Yeah. And I was in South Dakota at July 3rd when the president was there and saw the fireworks over Mount Rushmore and just was, it was just fabulous. And that's what that night reminded me of, at least watching it on television. Describe what it was like to be there, if you would.
Well, it was magnificent, and I want to set the record straight that we all did wear masks in, and they distributed masks. But once you sit down, you don't necessarily need to have your mask on, and a lot of people are questioning why we would be there. We were also with family. All of us basically knew each other.
Well, now, wait a second.
There were very few strangers.
Were people out on the streets that greeted you later, were they all wearing, well, some of them were wearing masks, right, black ones?
Yeah, they were. Oh, you're talking about
the rioters. Nobody worries about that.
Oh, no, the anarchists. No, they, most of them are disguising themselves in masks. But, boy, I tell you, they're sweating and slobbering at people for sure. But we were all decent. We were friends. We sat. We hadn't seen a lot of each other in a while. The difference, I think, when you went out to South Dakota is that the people on the street were trying to be disruptive during the president's speech. So they began to play their music really, really loud and we could hear them. We could hear their chants. We could hear their. But it was an interesting backdrop because I was also in Israel when we moved the embassy, and we had a similar occasion to where when the prime minister had to get up and speak to us, he acknowledged that there were people that were in their forces having some challenges right then, and we were going to consider that. And we found out the next day just how aggressive it was down there on that border in Israel. We also reminded another time in history when we think about our Star Spangled Banner that there's a reason for us to say in the rockets red glare, the bombs bursting in air. It's a war. And if anything that Joe Biden has said that's coherent, he said that this next election is about the soul of America. And it is. We're going to decide if we're biblical and free or we're secular and status. But that was an incredible evening. And to walk out into that type of madness, I think it was a reminder of those of us that were just in celebration that we're still in the war.
Yeah. You know, one philosophical observation, Star, is that one of the good things about all of this, and my listeners have heard me say this more than once now, but it bears repeating, and that is that this brush with being held down by COVID, with masks, had churches closed, riots in the street, make us understand why our founding fathers were willing to give their lives and their fortunes to be free. Because we've talked about it. It's been an intellectual exercise to talk about the importance of freedom. Freedom has morphed into freedom to, you know, get all the chocolate bars I want or have all the cocaine I want. Or, you know, it's morphed into that. We've even lost our understanding of what human freedom is all about, which is God-given. And so I think maybe there's potential that we will, God willing, there will be some fight left in us to fight for freedom in our generation. As you came out,
I don't want people to think we don't still have that fight. The decent people in the quiet communities all across the country that get up and go to church on Sunday morning and send their kids into their classroom telling them to behave on Monday morning and go to work or go become a homemaker are still there. They're just law-abiding. They're the ones that do what they're asked of their government. What we've witnessed over the last couple of months is that now America's picking winners and losers. So I think that there's still that fight in those. They're noticing. They might not take up arm, but they are going to go into voting booth. They know exactly what's at stake. And if everyone reminds their friend who says, I just want the noise to go away, that what's at stake, then I think that we will start seeing that trend back toward what's true and what's right.
Since you said that, I have to say again, people listening, please sign up to work in your poll. Please sign up to work in your poll. Call your county and look online, whatever. You can find out. Don't volunteer. Get hired. Right. Because then you'll be in the polling place and you'll have some control over what's happening in there. And if they don't have enough people sign up, then they will not open those polls.
Right.
And that's going to create chaos. So please do that. If you're able-bodied and can handle it, and most of you probably are, please volunteer.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's interesting because we, as Christian people, we're used to volunteering. We use our time, talent, and treasure toward good, benevolence. But this is good. Right now, we have to save our country, so it's good to go be in the polls.
I want to amend what you and I just said. Not volunteer. Get hired.
Yes.
Get hired. Get
hired.
Don't be
That's
just
right.
a volunteer.
No,
go in there.
To,
yeah, be one of the workers. Okay, so Star, you go out on the streets. Were you expecting what you got?
Well, I didn't go out on the street because although they were loud, I think that it escalated to the point where when people were going out of the various exits, those that were just totally out of control became just vile. And so the exit I was attempting to go out, they had us run and get behind an ambulance and some cars that were parked on the properties of the White House lawn. And so when I went to duck behind the ambulance, because I didn't know why they were yelling to get down, were they attempting to breach the White House grounds again, because that had already happened a month or so prior. So I went to go get down, and one of the congressmen from North Carolina, Congressman Budd, his wife recognized me because I'd spoken to the congressional wives a few months ago. And so he yelled out, come with us, come with us. So I ran with him and Amy. What a precious couple. And they got me out onto the buses that were heading over to the Trump Hotel. From there, once the tension started calming, and that was far enough from the White House grounds that I just walked a few blocks to my apartment.
A lot of our mutual friends
really
got caught. Like
totally accosted.
Rajiv Gabriel had the same thing. A couple had to rescue her.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul and his wife Kelly, people probably know that story.
Yeah.
Were really accosted.
The Congressman, Matt. You know, I think the one that I really hope that goes viral for the country to see and that the campaign uses in their ads is the couple that were dressed up, and the husband was carrying his wife's red shoes, and she had on her beautiful red dress, and they just surrounded them and just wouldn't stop. And it was just so precious to see him stay there with his wife. They were an older couple, and just walk through it, and just walk through it. And then he finally, when he couldn't get into the W Hotel, which is right across from the White House, he walked down into the underground for the Willard Hotel. And they didn't follow him down. And I think it might have been because the hand of the Lord, it was almost like angels were there between them and that little couple walking down that that garage, because all
very
of
dangerous.
A sudden it was very light, but it was very light and off of that dark street. So, you know, the angels of the Lord were encamped about us all, I think, that evening. And it was just a miracle that no one lost their lives because these folks were out of control.
They were out of control. And Rand Paul and his wife, of course, felt threatened with their lives. Vernon Jones, the Democrat from Georgia, got accosted.
Why?
I saw that
Hopefully
video.
That'll change him from being a Democrat, because, for, you know, 68 million babies dead, 68 million Democrats. I wouldn't be a Democrat today.
No. Well,
Because when you think about it, it's the blood of the innocent that's really driving a lot of this madness. As we mentioned in the last segment, that, you know, when you're hurting so deeply because you're post-aborted, and you don't have any way to say, I was wrong, I've sinned, then you're going to lash out. You got to justify it forever. So a lot of those girls out there, they were just screaming. They're just way out of control. A few months back when they first came through and they started lighting fires, I'm 2 o'clock in the morning saying my church is closed, the hotels are closed, but they have a fire outside of this building with 300 people sitting up in here at 2 o'clock in the morning. It was just the hand of the Lord that the wind didn't take up and take that building down. Yeah. So we as a calming force. Christianity can be a calming force. I think that this is the time to really exercise that. For us to say, you know what, you get rid of wrath when you're silent. And this is a time for us to do what the Lord did. He should be our example to say, he opened not his mouth. In 64 days, we have opportunity to open our mouths again.
You know what, you're saying that reminds me of Dr. Martin Luther King's method of protesting. The dignity and, if you can call it beauty, of the dignity.
When
that
America woke up was when, on that Edmund Pettus Bridge,
yeah.
America was sleeping, just like today. The good people all across the country weren't paying attention to what was going on at that time. And it escalated on the Edmund Pettus Bridge to where the silent, peaceful protesters were confronted with dogs and water hoses. We don't want to forget that. We also don't want to forget that the tactics that Antifa Black Lives Matters are using today are the very exact tactics of the KKK. This intimidation, threats of violence, and the silence from those in leadership on the left and from the Democrat Party, we should make sure that we take notice of that. You mentioned Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You know yourself, in D.C. this past weekend, it was the 57th anniversary of his I Have a Dream speech there at the Lincoln Memorial. When he came with 200,000 freedom seekers. He came with a message, three-part message. He first spoke to the country, then he spoke to the Negro, then he spoke to the Christian. And his message was one in unity with our Constitution and our Declaration. What we saw this past weekend with Al Sharpton up there and every store in D.C. having to board up and shut down on the 57th anniversary, this is not progress. And they were not dressed in their Sunday best like 57 years ago. The African Americans that came there seeking to be a part of the country in their Sunday best. No, they all were dressed like Al-Qaeda. They looked exactly like the witness we see all across the world with Boko Haram and the rest of these terrorist organizations. And make no mistake, if we don't become involved as Christian people and make sure that we not only, like you say, go work in that polling booth and go vote in November, knowing what's at stake, then we're going to get the country that our grandchildren really don't deserve.
Yes, and again, it has nothing to do with color. I was just watching. You just watch all these protests, Star. I've made this is a theme with me too, because I want people to understand that we have black kids dying, white kids dying, adults and children. We have black rioters and we have white rioters. They're all working together
it's
because wickedness. Yes,
that's right.
Because wickedness doesn't know a color.
Mm-mm.
I want to mention one more thing on the. In Washington, Rand Paul is actually demanding that the FBI and others look at who's bringing in these protesters, because Rand was saying even in their hotel later, the next morning, they saw people get off the elevators in Black Lives Matter T-shirts and paraphernalia, and they had stayed in these luxury hotels. He was not the only one that said that.
Oh,
so,
no, I watched them myself. And not just that. When I watched the last time they came through and why the store is boarded up this time, is I watched them drop. They came in luxury cars, dropped the bricks. The bricks are inside of, like, socks so that they can wrap them and break. They destroyed that city. And if they keep this up, there won't be a tax base left. It will turn back to a desert land. We know what was in Washington, D.C., and all of these new neighborhoods that have just risen. We know what Seattle looked like. We know what Portland looked like. Now, Seattle, I think, might be okay because there's so much tax base there with major corporations there and Boeing and Amazon and Starbucks and others. But Portland may never come back. Watts did not come back.
Well, and Minneapolis has taken a big hit, too.
Minneapolis has taken a huge hit. And most of this is because of the leadership. They are not leading the people to peace.
No.
They're just allowing for this to happen because their venom and hatred toward Donald Trump is so embedded. Because I think it's not about Donald Trump for them either. It's really about worldview. And that's what Christians need to understand. This is not about Donald Trump.
No.
This is about worldview. In the public square, what are we going to tolerate?
It's not about politics. It's not about being a Republican or a Democrat. It hasn't
nope.
been for a long time.
That's right.
Actually, since I was on radio in Chicago in the 90s, it had stopped already, but people just didn't recognize it. They still thought it was business as usual. Let me just say that President Trump last night said that there was a plane loaded with thugs in black dress with paraphernalia that arrived from some city that was coming to D.C., and they're in the process of trying to figure out who that is. And my understanding is from Chad Wolf that finally, our authorities are looking in to see who is behind this. But Star, it is a spiritual battle, as you said. I appreciate so much you pointing us to that this morning. And We need to pray.
And then we get up off our knees.
That's right. And go to work.
And go to work.
All right, Star Parker, thanks so much. Sandy Rios in the morning, AFR Talk.